We continue on this morning with the study of what our purpose as a church is, particularly the process on how we go about fulfilling said purpose, found in the words connect, grow, serve, and go, those words that we have on our walls there. And we will once again be referring to Matthew 28, 16 through 20. So I invite you to grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me there, or you can follow along on the screen. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. And remember, this is the word of the Lord. Let's hear it accordingly. Let's read it accordingly. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we give you thanks for yet another opportunity for us to be gathered together this Lord's Day, gathered together to open up your word, to read it, to sing songs and praise of you, O God, to praise the name of Jesus Christ, confess together that he is both Savior and Lord. And as we approach the text and approach the question about what is our purpose as a church and how are we to serve and how are we to go and proclaim Christ, may we do so with hearts that are going, "Yes, Lord, I am ready." And in Christ's name we say, amen. So when we began looking at this purpose section of our Constitution last week, it was not only because we were getting closer to our church's membership reaffirmation Sunday, but also I wanted us to challenge ourselves this year as we look at reaffirming our membership at a church, or maybe this is your first time thinking about becoming a member, challenge you, how can we connect? How can we grow in being a member of our church? We went through connect with God, believers, and with the lost. We talked about growing in the knowledge of the word and understanding the word and in obedience to God. And while I want to still challenge you this year to consider those things as you fill out the membership affirmation, let us also desire to grow in the areas we will talk about today. And I want to throw out something else to keep in mind as you're considering this growth. And it's the phrase, existential crisis. Existential crisis. How many of you are going, "I've never heard of existential crisis before"? Okay? How many of you are going, "Not only have I heard of it, I've experienced it"? An existential crisis can be defined as a moment of time in one's life where they are affected by the deeper questions of life. They cannot come out of their minds. And it's shaking them fundamentally to the core. And that usually happens after particular events in one's life. Like if you've been in a car accident and you survived and you go, "Well, what happens now? What's my purpose?" For instance, parents, after their final kid has left the house, a natural question that might arise is, "Okay, we've crossed that finish line. Now what? What is the next chapter? What is the next thing on the horizon?" Or how about when people retire from their job after working day in, day out for decades, after the novelty of retirement wears off, where people go, "Oh, you're going to have a great time. You're going to get to do what you want." You go, "Yeah, I'll get to do what I want." And then the weeks go by, and then you go, "Well, what am I supposed to do now? What is my purpose?" And there are times where people have this and they feel like they are a fish out of water. What am I supposed to do? There's times where they might feel like I'm no longer the spring chicken. I'm now the old person in the back. Time has passed them by, and the question is raised, what am I supposed to do now? What is my purpose? That is a question that is on minds of so many people. So many people want to know, what is my purpose? Perhaps it's on your mind. Perhaps you are asking, what is your purpose as a disciple of Christ, as a Christian? You've crossed the threshold. I am a believer in Christ as my Savior and Lord. Now what? In this month, I've asked all of you, the members of Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, as you are considering your reaffirmation, to consider the question, what is my purpose as a disciple of Christ who is a member of this church? What am I supposed to do? And while, yes, it is true that our chief end is to glorify God, we glorify God by living as and making disciples. So today, consider how we are to do so by those final two parts of our process in fulfilling such a purpose. They fit under the headings of serve and go. First, serving. Particularly the commission that we as members of the church are called and are making a commitment to is serving one another. That's the first part that I want to think about serving. Once again, I remind you that we have these four steps on the walls here, and they actually have words that we can read underneath them. And this is what it says. A disciple, a follower of Christ, sees him or herself first as a servant of God, then as a servant in the church, and as a servant to his, her neighbors, and the world. Service is so important that without it, a disciple cannot be spiritually healthy. Every member of Jesus' body is a valuable part and has a function. As disciples, we understand that God wants to use us and work through us to accomplish his will and work for his glory. Now, compare those words contained in that contained on that section to the passage we found in Scripture, we find in Scripture this morning, and I think you see the connection building there. The 11 disciples, those who we call today the apostles of Christ, were being commissioned by Jesus Christ to go make disciples, to serve the church in this particular way. The Lord was telling them to go make disciples and teach them. And as servants of the Lord, they went forth and did what he commanded them to do. And if you have time this week, I would encourage all of us, if we have time, to read Acts, the book of Acts, which chronicles there and the rest of the church's work in service to the Lord. And while that book of the Bible describes many things being done by them, it all serves the goal of their being servants of the Lord and wanting to be good and faithful servants. And we are told in several passages of Scripture, are we not, that we are to serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:13. Very clearly reads, it is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. When Christ was in the midst of being tempted in the wilderness, we read in Matthew 4:8-10, that again the devil took him, that's Christ, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he, that's Satan, said to him, Christ, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So in short, the devil tempts Jesus with all the kingdoms in their glory, said that they could be his if only Christ would fall down and worship the devil, as if Christ didn't already have it. Christ responds that we are only to worship our God and only serve God. Beloved, we must be servants of the Lord. If we are not first and foremost servants of God, only serving him, then the question might be raised, well, who is it that we're serving? If it's not God, who is it? And you probably were not expecting this, but here's a Bob Dylan reference for you this morning. Bob Dylan in 1979, in the midst of what is called his gospel phase, And this phase came after an existential crisis. Divorce, debt. People didn't like his music that much anymore. And that existential crisis brought him to Vineyard churches and evangelical Christianity. And then in this gospel phase, he pens the song, Gotta Serve Somebody, where he goes on to list a variety of all kinds of people and how they're all going to serve somebody. He wrote, well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Not mincing words. This is Bob Dylan. Can you go back to Tambourine Man, please? He stopped playing all his old music. No more Tambourine Man. Only you got to serve somebody. Only gospel tracks. John Lennon, in response, writes this song, Serve Yourself. Who are we serving? It's like, amen. Amen. Matthew 6:24 reads this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And there is only one throne for the King of Kings. And there are many things that might attempt to take his throne and to have you go like, hey, can you join me in putting money as the King of Kings? Or he's not really the King of Kings. You are the King of Kings. You put yourself on the throne. It might be as dramatic as what I just described, and that will certainly reveal very quickly for us who we are serving. However, there are so many subtle ways that we are maybe blind to that are nefarious that truly reveal, wait a minute, who am I serving here? What am I doing? For instance, this passage is calling us to serve the Lord. Yet we can so often find reasons why we can't serve the Lord a particular way at a particular time. It's like we enjoy talking about the Lord working through us to accomplish his will. That's great talk. We thinking about serving for his glory. But when it becomes putting it into practice, that is when it gets difficult, when the rubber meets the road. This is not to say that there aren't legitimate reasons why we can't serve at particular times. Don't be visiting people in their houses if you're sick. Don't get them sick. Okay. Yet other times, our excuses can be on the selfish side, more often than not. Being a servant of the Lord. Yeah, I want to be a servant of the Lord so long as I get home in time for my show. I can serve the Lord so long as it doesn't mess up my long-term plans. I got a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 15-year plan. I got to stay on that. So serving the Lord is good as so long as it matches my plan. Count me as a servant of God on Sundays between the hours of 9 and 12. Fellow disciples, we cannot be serving two masters. But I know what you're thinking. Does that conflict with the statement that we're to serve one another? Perhaps some of you are thinking that our church purpose says serve one another. Here am I saying we can't serve two masters. No, it does not contradict. And here's why. We are first called to be servants of God. That is first priority. And in that servanthood comes a plethora of things, which includes obedience to the word and a love for the bride of Christ, which is the church. And out of that love, we serve one another. God's word tells the church to go make disciples and teach them all that he had commanded. It is commanded in scripture to pursue Christ's likeness, which includes this, serving. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came to serve others sacrificially. So in our pursuit and being humble, obedient servants of God, we as well desire to serve others sacrificially. The writing on the wall regarding serving others echoes the same idea when it uses the terms first and then. Disciples see themselves first as a servant of God, then as a servant in the church, their neighbors and the world. It's trickle-down servanthood. It's trickle-down servanthood. Our desire to be servants of the Lord trickles or flows down to practicing the one another's, to loving one another, to serving one another. Or in other words, the foundation is Christ our Lord. And from such a firm foundation, we develop hearts to serve and then put them into action. You see, there's an order to these things. There's an order. And if we don't have our serving others firmly planted as something that is to occur as we see and grow in understanding what it means to be a servant of God, then when we enter into those opportunities of serving that are difficult, we will not have that firm base to ground us and pursue it. Say the Lord has placed it in your walk to serve, let's say, the stereotypical church member who is the stereotypical church curmudgeon. The one who comes to church and everything is negative. Christ could be returning before their very eyes, but they want to first make sure that you know that your child crying in service was inappropriate. If your servant's heart only goes to the level of serving one another, those people that you like, the ones that aren't difficult, I think you will quickly find excuses to no longer serve anybody. Yes, you recall that the membership covenant saying something about how you will serve the church by discovering your gifts and talents. Yes, I'm going to do that. By being equipped to serve and be developing a servant's heart, I'm going to do all that. All that is true, but can it be somebody else? I want to serve that person over there, not this person over here. In that scenario, simply ask yourself, am I serving my own wants and desires instead of serving the Lord? That's a question we need to ask ourselves over and over and over again. Yes, each person is going to have different gifts and talents. They're going to be discovered, confirmed, and they're to be equipped to use them, which might mean you might not be the right fit for particular areas of service in the church, but I think we might play that card too quickly. Going, I'm not equipped, I can't do it. Like, oh, interesting. It seems like the whole church is not equipped to do this. Instead, in the guise of wanting to look on the outside as someone who serves the church, are we really just serving ourselves? We want to have the look that we're serving. We want to have a look that meets our mold of service, not the Lord's. Yet a heart of a servant to the Lord in the same scenario handles things differently. Instead of trying to find the escape clause every single time, like, how can I get out of this time? Like, well, okay, connect the dots here. Okay, now I don't have to do it. They look at them as difficult opportunities to serve, but opportunities to serve nonetheless. They look at them as difficult, but opportunities to grow as servants. It's not going to be easy every time, but what's not easy helps us grow. They actively look for ways to serve because they're serving others is very much fueled, not by if they're nice, not by whether they are, something you want to do or not, but it's fueled by the joy in the Lord. The joy in the Lord is what's the foundation. Christ is being the foundation. So, folks, we cannot serve two masters. And if we are trying to do so, may we make today the day when we say no more. Go, I am not going to serve my own interests. I'm going to serve the interests of the Lord, the interests of the church. And say if you've already made that commitment, like, I'm serving right now. Are you looking for tangible, actionable ways for the Lord to use you in service to him and his kingdom? Going, I am ready to serve. And then it's just crickets. The biblical counselor, Paul Tripp, has this book called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And in it, he talks about how God uses people as tools of change in other people's lives. Building off of that, how many of us are praying for those opportunities to be used? Go ahead. Yeah, I'm ready to use my gifts. Lord, use me. Use me. Opportunities when God's hand will stretch out of his plethora of tools and go, you're the tool today, and use you. Use you as his instrument. Are you with shouts of praise and joy when the time comes? Go, pick me, pick me. I want to be used by the Lord. Or are we deathly silent, going, please pass me by. Pick another tool, God. Never pick me. As disciples, servants of the Lord, let us build up a heart that goes, I am ready to serve. Wherever you lead me, Lord, I will follow. Let us go forth and as the church body gathered, fulfill the commission which has been given to us and be ready to serve. And I think that leads very nicely to the final part of our process that is written on paper. I have to put written on paper as if this explains the entirety of our process. Now, we have a desire to connect with the lost. The final part is go. A heart that seeks to grow in obedience to God's word. And we have hands that want to serve the Lord. All of that in some way or another is connected to that line of the Great Commission. Go. The church is to go and make disciples. Disciples are to go and make disciples. On the wall under go, you'll read this. A disciple, a follower of Christ, understands that God cares about the entire world. From the people living right next to you to the people on the other side of the globe, Jesus Christ has made salvation possible for every man, woman, and child. And one of the last words of Jesus was for his followers to go all over the world, starting from where we live. A disciple takes this missional call seriously and incorporates it into his or her mentality and lifestyle. Last month, we had an offering drive for Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon goes to international missionaries, and we as a church voted on making sure that a certain percentage of our giving as a church body goes to supporting mission work. This year, Hans and a previous member, Mitch, went to Tanzania. Men from our Central Valley Baptist Association a couple of weeks ago came back from Guatemala. A family we know and support is doing mission work in northern Indonesia, Taliabo. There's a pastor I know who has gone overseas into places not friendly to Christianity to go train up pastors underground. And there is a pastor I know who does gospel work in Oklahoma in Native American tribes. You probably know of other people. You might get those magazines that tell you, this is what the mission work is being done over here. This is what's happening over here. You might be well aware of so many people doing missionary work who are fulfilling the go portion. And to those outside of the church, those who are not in the know, they might see this all as bizarre. Why are you putting money towards this? Why are you sending people out into what, like, dangerous territory? They might see it as bizarre that men and women would go and do these things, put their lives in danger. Yet to those inside the family of God, we see it as believers being faithful to the word of God, expressing love for their neighbor, and saying wherever God leads us, they're going to take up the call and the Great Commission to go and make disciples. I mentioned Acts earlier, and again, I'm going to reiterate, take the time to read it. There you will find the disciples of Christ doing great commission work. Christ told them to go, and in Acts you see them going. They were Christ's witnesses. They went and proclaimed the gospel, and more disciples were being made by their labors, thanks be to God. They started in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the book ends where? With Paul's house arrest in Rome. And if you look at a map, you will see that this is four-word expansion. You start off in Jerusalem and then go all the way to Rome. And today, of course, we know that the gospel has gone well beyond Rome, and it is still being proclaimed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did so with zeal. Gone are the days that they're running away from the centurions, running away when trouble comes about. It's a type of zeal that for us today, it might be difficult for us to understand here in America. Fears that we have regarding evangelism and gospel work here in America are regarding things like ostracization. They're going to know that I'm a Christian. They're gonna label me as something and put me in over here. Or we're going to be labeled as social pariahs because we are on fire for God over here and we want to tell people about Christ. Being labeled as weirdos. You mean you take that book seriously? Meanwhile, you go across the globe, you have disciples of Christ who know because of their faith, because they are outwardly confessing that Christ is Lord, they are putting their name on a list, and death is more probable than we could ever imagine. That is the reality. To say that you're a Christian in some places is to mean jail time. If you practice your faith in public, that means jail time. So we might be considered the weirdos at work. Like, oh, we don't want to sit with them because they're and I know as soon as I sit down, they're going to ask me a Bible question, or they're like, I'm going to ask them, have you seen this movie? And like, no, I don't really want to watch that movie. We might be considered by one of our friends that we're the friend in the friend group that believes in the strange things. While other brothers and sisters are worried about far more worse things than mean words. The apostles went wherever the Lord called them to go and desired to proclaim Christ. And all but one of them were martyred for their faith. They died for a faith in Christ, which led them to heed the words of our Lord and go. Beloved, I mentioned these things to simply say, let not being called names prevent you going and using your gifts for kingdom work. And go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Give thanks to God when it is only names being hurled your ways instead of literal stones when we go proclaim Christ. And while we are not the apostles, but are the gathered body of disciples here in Lake Don Pedro, we seek to be used by God to make and teach disciples, offering freely the gospel, telling all about the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. But also make sure we understand that we are truly to go. We are to go. This is not a call to just stay and wait for the disciples to come. Like, if you build it, they will come, type of thing. No, but to go forth and make disciples. The church must not just be gathered in these four walls every Lord's Day and then act like they're gone the rest of the week. But as we leave these doors, going out of these walls, live as lives as disciples of Christ. Pointing people to Christ and being Christ-like in our walk. This involves taking the missional call and having it be part of your life. Shifting your mentality and the way you live your life to be kingdom-focused. And ask yourself this week, if this is what you're doing, is your mind and lifestyle changing to be mission focused? You might find yourself being called into the mission field after refocusing, going, Lord, I want to just be faithful to you and be a servant to you. Use me how you see fit. And then God goes, okay, you're going to Asia. Bye. Praise the Lord. You might find yourself being more concerned about praying for the church going forth and doing gospel work. When we change our minds and look like, what is our purpose? What should be our focus? And then when we see things aligning with that focus, we go, I need to pray for that. I need to pray for that. You might be in the need, you might be in the middle, in the midst of your own personal existential crisis right now. And you might be asking yourself, what is my purpose? If you believe in Christ as your Savior and Lord, part of your purpose can be summarized with this: connect, grow, serve, and go. You might be struggling in knowing how to fulfill such a purpose and how to use what the Lord has given you in such endeavors, but the purpose of Christ's disciple is clear: connect, grow, serve, and go. But what is also clear is that you're not alone in connecting. I mean, you can't connect with yourself type thing. This is given to the whole church. You're not alone in fulfilling the purpose, for it is given to all disciples, given to the whole church. The whole body is commissioned to do this. So if you have, how do I fulfill such a purpose? How do I fulfill this part? I think the Lord's leading me to do this for the church. Who do I talk to? Talk to others in the church that have done similar things. Open up our eyes and go, we don't need to reinvent the wheel with every generation. If you are not a member of Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church or of any church, consider making this time as you go, I want to be kingdom focused, I want to be mission focused, to formally commit yourself to a church body that you're willing to learn, willing to figure out what does it mean to be kingdom focused, one to serve in. And it is a good thing to seek after membership and committing yourself to a local church. And if you're already a member and you are taking this time to work on your membership reaffirmation, by work I mean that you're not just filling it out and sending it in, but actually taking the time to go, this is what the membership covenant says. I want to work on this part of the covenant. I might be doing okay in these areas, but this one area I want to pursue growth in this year. I would encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can serve the church and make a commitment that this year to grow in being a faithful servant. Ask the questions, what am I good at? What am I gifted in? And if I don't know, how can I find out? How can I use what I'm good at to first serve God, then serve the church and my neighbors? To rephrase a famous saying, ask not what the church body can do for you, but what you can do for the church body. May we grow in our serving one another and Christ our Lord. May that service lead us to go forth to proclaim salvation that is found in Christ alone. Make the commitment that this year, as a member of this church, I want to grow in evangelism. I don't know how to evangelize. You're going, that's great. The first step is admitting you don't know. Let's come in and let's teach. Let's learn how to do it. If one needs help in how to evangelize, there are plenty of resources that we can be equipped with. When considering what areas we personally can grow in as a member of Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, may the Holy Spirit give us the strength to pursue it and grow in our sanctification. And that will bless our congregation, bless your life as a Christian, and have the gospel light here at our church shine all the brighter. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we consider truly the Great Commission, and that it is your desire that we do not hide gospel truth, but we proclaim it, and we want to tell the world that Jesus Christ is born, was born. Tell the world that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that he is the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament, and that he will come again. Lord, give us hearts that desire to go forth and proclaim the gospel, to evangelize. Lord, may you help us grow in servanthood. If this convicts anyone's heart, that may it be one that goes like, today's the day I'm going to go and ask, what can I do to help the church? Lord, if there is time, if there's people able, may they come and have the courage to ask the question. Lord, may we be ready. Those who have been serving faithfully already in the ministries that we have at the church, may they be ready to lead the next generation, lead the next group of people who want to volunteer their time to serve the church. And may we have hearts to serve our neighbors, hearts to serve our families. And it all flows from our desire to be known as a servant of the Most High God. And in Christ's name we say, amen.